And if you hold it there, it's the main passage we're going to be looking at today, chapter 10, verse 46. But I just want to start by reading this verse in Acts 10, 38. If you're quick, nimble fingers to be able to run over. It says in Acts 10, verse 38, it says this of Jesus, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." Amen. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. You and I, without the Holy Spirit, we have no power. Without Jesus, we have no power. We have only unlimited abilities that we can do in the flesh. But God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus just went around doing good. You and I, we have the Holy Spirit upon our lives. When Jesus comes into our life, he calls us to go around doing good. Not doing bad, not speaking bad, but doing good. Every opportunity we can find to do good in the power of the Holy Spirit. But he also went around healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. As Jesus was in the world, so are we. When Jesus said that, when they talked about the Holy Spirit came upon him, he then said the Holy Spirit will be upon you. As Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit, you and I too are the disciples who are called the sent out ones. I believe that the miraculous is still for today, just as it was for yesterday, as it was the days gone by. I've got books of miracles and healings. I've seen them. Many of us have got testimonies of them in our lives. And we get despondent sometimes when they don't happen around us, when we pray and it doesn't seem to happen. But that should never lose sight that Jesus Christ is still our healer, our miracle-working God. Signs and wonders will follow the preaching of his word. Just never lose sight of that, who Jesus is. You know what? There's some different reasons why I believe miracles were demonstrated. One, it's to show the awesomeness and the power of Jesus, of who he was, to identify him, that he was divine. He is divine God. It was to show us the fulfillment of prophecy. Psalm 146, verse 8 in the Old Testament tells us, "The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down, and the Lord loves the godly." Isaiah 35, verse 4 to 5 says, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf." When Jesus came, he came and brought fulfillment of the prophecy of words. Jesus is the fulfillment of the word of God. It reveals the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus went around preaching, he says that he preached repentance, he preached the kingdom of heaven, and he says he performed healing, signs and wonders, miracles at his hands. It followed the preaching of his word. It's to identify that God is here with us, the kingdom is here. It encourages our faith. One scripture says, "How will they believe unless they see the power of God?" It's to show the authority that Jesus carries, and he carries it on through the disciples today. Do you know that's you and I? We limit ourselves so much through our doubts and through our inability, or in a sense, our inability to trust Jesus. We're not worthy enough. It's for somebody else. But you know, God used the weak things of this world to confound the wise. He used the disciples that you and I probably would not have chosen to be in our team or on our list or to work with. But Jesus chose these uneducated young men to serve him. And he would choose you if you're willing to. We got to believe in a miracle-working God. So this morning, I just want to look at one of the miracles of Jesus today. And I think there's some things that we can learn about the faith of us, the faith that we can have in him, but also who God is. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And we heard that it's when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately, notice that, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. This is a tremendous scene of what Jesus is doing. It says he went around doing good. And here's another place where his goodness begins to flow. You know, we sang earlier about the goodness following us. Wherever we go, the goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Praise God. And the goodness of Jesus is good. It's not like our good. We think things are good, but it doesn't necessarily mean to think it's right. God's goodness is always right and perfect, and his goodness flows. And it says that they came to Jericho. Jericho, we read about in the Old Testament, was the place where Joshua came and he pulled down. They saw the walls of Jericho come tumbling down as they marched around 7 days, and a mighty shout, and those walls came tumbling down. But as a result, onwards, it was cursed, this place Jericho. And many times walls and buildings have been built, but they've come down again. It was a cursed place. But nonetheless, Jesus was on his way to the cross in Jerusalem, but he wasn't deterred by Jericho being a bad place. And I love that about Jesus. Jesus is prepared to step into the bad places of our lives. He's not deterred by curses, by things where bad things are happening. Jesus wants to bring his good in the midst of badness. It's quite simple that, but it's true. He's not deterred by the badness or the horrors of the things that are going on in this world. He'll bring his goodness. Will we bring the goodness of God into the bad places around us? Praise Jesus. And he came with his disciples and a great multitude. So it wasn't just Jesus and his 12 disciples. He was there with a great multitude. They were walking on this road through Jericho and coming on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross. A great multitude were following. So there's a great crowd there. And we get this picture now of Jesus walking through. And he said that on the road, there was this man called Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, we know, is the son of Timaeus. Now, the word Timaeus means prize man. So he was the son of a prize man. He was yet to receive his prize in a moment, which we see in a moment or two. Some believe that Bartimaeus' dad was also blind. We don't have too much about that, but some commentators believe that. And when we read about later on, we can read another gospel about two blind men came to Jesus saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Some have wondered whether that was Bartimaeus' father as well. But nonetheless, this is the story we read of Bartimaeus. He was the son of a prize man, yet he was sitting by the road begging. He was blind. He was blind in his life. I mean, to understand what it means to be blind in a life, can you ever imagine just walking, just close your eyes just for a few moments and seeing around? You won't be able to see very much. Just trying to get through life, not ever wondering what people look like, looking in the mirror, not seeing yourself, not wondering what your hair's like that day. Going out shopping, not being able to buy those fancy clothes that you see. Those TV programs, not being able to watch, but just being able to listen. You know how our lives would be so disabled by not being able to see. And this man, his livelihood was affected. He couldn't work effectively. He could do very little but sit by the roadside and just beg and ask people for a bit of bread, a bit of money each day. It says he sat by the roadside. That's a highway where he saw the traffic go by. He was in a position of just sitting. Just imagine this day, you'd get on about your life and he just sat there every day, just begging. Every day, have you got some food? Have you got some money? Have you got something? Just a bit of bread for me. As he saw people getting on with their lives every day, but he just sat in that position. You know, in our blindness, we can be spiritually blinded in life. But sometimes we can just, when we're blind, we're unable to see, it causes us just to be defected in our position. Our condition will often affect our position. You know, I believe Jesus, the greatest ability to be able to see God in our lives. Many people in this world are spiritually blind. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the mind of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. We may be able to see with our eyes, but if we are spiritually blinded, we're unable to see the glorious good news of Jesus. You know, Paul has said that he could see perfectly. He studied and he worked hard all his life to try and see things. And he saw physically with his eyes, but it wasn't until he was knocked off his horse and he saw Jesus where he was blinded. In the midst of his blindness, he began to see the glory of God. And although blind Bartimaeus, he was blind physically, we see that spiritually his eyes were being opened. Praise God. If you see God, then praise God and thank him that your spiritual eyes are opened, that you can wake up every morning knowing that Jesus is there, that you can call upon him, that you can turn to him in your life. Blind Bartimaeus, he sat there by the road begging while the highway of everyone else just got on with their lives. The busyness of life. You know, he just watched, in a sense, day after day. Maybe he's looking, his own life just passing by. Do you watch your own life pass you by? I believe the Bible says, without vision, we perish. When we're spiritually blinded, we can perish. We can miss the opportunities that God has for us. When we're spiritually blind, we miss the goodness of God. We miss the mercy of God. We miss the power of God because we're blinded by all these other things around us. It may not be physically blind, but we're blinded by the darkness of sin of life. In life, we're blinded by the pleasures around us. We're blinded by the material possessions. We're blinded by relationships and people around us. And we miss out on who God is. God, would you open our eyes to see the glories of God, the glorious light of the good news. As he sat there begging by the road with maybe his bowl or his cup, asking for something. Maybe people came by and they dropped in their 2 pennies worth. Maybe they dropped in their empty promises. Well, one day we'll have you around for lunch. One day you could come and live with us when we get things settled. One day, and they just dropped by their empty promises. And he sat there with his bowl of food and maybe empty promises, empty love, empty hopes. He was just waiting for the opportunity of a breakthrough in his life. Praise God, it says. And then he heard that it was that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. Jesus was passing by. I just love that. Jesus of Nazareth was walking by. Here's that road that he sees people walking by every day. He hears the same voices every day, just walking in their conversations and they're talking and whatever they're going and they're giving their wisdom and their advices about life. And then one day Jesus is walking by and he hears the name Jesus. He hears somebody call out Jesus. He hears the people's talking of their testimonies. Jesus, he healed me. He spoke into my life. He delivered me. And he's hearing these testimonies. He hears this crowd and he hears the name of Jesus. Jesus is coming by. His opportunity is coming by. Hallelujah. Jesus is here today. And there's an opportunity for every single one of us. Don't let the opportunity of Christ pass you by in life. Many people in this world today, they're going running 1,000 miles an hour through life and letting the gospel, the good news of Jesus, pass them by. We too, we can go home and we can sit in our comfy new chairs. And we can listen to the word of God week after week, but do nothing with it and allow the opportunities of the word, the opportunities of the promises of God, the opportunities of his plan and purpose just pass us by. Don't let the kingdom of God pass you by in your life. I look forward to that day and I was thinking about it when Jesus meets me in that day and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord. And so I know that I need to be a servant before I'm anything else, before God. You know, Jesus never, he said, you know, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend, but he never told us to stop being servants. He just says, I welcome you as friends. But in fact, the Bible encouraged us to serve as Jesus served. Don't allow these opportunities to pass you by. And he heard Jesus was passing by. He heard the stumping of feet going by. And they're the feet of Jesus, the feet that bring good news. I mean, this was his one and only opportunity. Maybe he'd been to the doctors. Maybe he'd tried all different kinds of ointment and eye drops and all kind of things in his life. And nothing seemed to work. And he sat there in that position, in his condition. You know, one of the things I was thinking about this. And I wonder whether he was sitting with other blind men. You know, the Bible seems to see that there are people with certain conditions. We see it particularly with those with leprosy. They seem to congregate together. You know, sometimes when we have things in our life that we can't fix and those difficulties and those struggles and those issues in our life, we tend to congregate with those who have also got things in their life that they can't fix. That sometimes it may be in places that we can't help, places of sickness, of difficulty, and we tend to get alongside so we can comfort one another with those issues and difficulties. There'll be comfort in grief, comfort in sickness. But also we can congregate, sadly, in the places where there is bitterness. When somebody's offended you, well, they offended me as well. And we get into our little huddles of gossip groups just to share our hurts about what somebody else has done. Be careful of congregating in places of bitterness. Be careful of congregating in places of unforgiveness. Be careful of congregating in places of gossip, of mockery and slander, of filthy language and jokes. Be careful where you congregate because of our hurts, because we identify, but this man was not prepared to remain in the congregation, I believe, of his difficulty, of his problem. He'd been there too long. And some of us here, we've been in a position too long. And we hear that Jesus passing by and he saw this was his opportunity. You know, we want to see miraculous happen, then we've got to see the opportunity of Christ in our life. And we can't remain in our position, seated in our position, just watching everything else go by, everyone else get their miracles, everyone else hear their teaching, everyone else move and follow Jesus while we just sit by and watch it all happen. We can use our excuses of, well, I'm not good enough. Well, maybe I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, if Jesus really loves me, then he'll come to me. If he really cares about me, then surely he'll come to me in my need. He knows everything. He doesn't, you know, and these other people don't know, but if really Jesus will come to me. And so often we're waiting for Jesus to come and meet us in our point of need. And he will, but there's often Jesus responds to faith. You see in the Bible, most of the time you see people are going to Jesus. There's a cry to Jesus. There's a reaching out to Jesus. There is a stepping out to Jesus. There is a walking to Jesus. There is a looking for Jesus. They're going to Jesus. The Bible says, come to me. The Bible says, call on me. Jesus has given us a will and expects us to use that will and to reach out to him. Don't wait for Jesus just to come to you in that point of need. And there are times where he will come. But don't expect that to happen in your life. God is expecting us to respond to him with what he's given us. And in this moment, what do we see happens? He began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David. He said he heard that Jesus was there. He couldn't see Jesus was there, but he heard Jesus was there. He used what he did have in faith to reach out for what he didn't have. Do you see that? He used what he did have to reach out for what he didn't have, to break through in those areas of blindness in his life. I have not got my eyes, but I've got my ears. I hear Jesus is here. I've heard the good things. Let my faith, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You know, use your ears to encourage your faith in Christ. He used his ears. The first step of faith, he said, Jesus said to him later on, didn't he? He said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You know, our faith is about what we do with what God has given us. So often we're saying, God, if I had this in my life, then I'd be so more effective for you. Why don't we use what God has given us already and use our faith in those areas of our life? He had ears to hear, and he used his ears to reach out in faith. I hear Jesus coming. I'm not going to allow those feet to pass me by. And he listened. When you hear the word of God, don't just be hearers only, but be doers with what God gives you, what God speaks into your life. Listen to the Spirit of God. You know, it's a great practice in life just to stop and say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're with me. What are you saying to me right now? And just be listening to Jesus. Maybe write a few things down, but listen for the Spirit of God. Let the God encourage your faith by his word. But as you read through the scriptures, allow the word of God to nourish your faith as you listen to what God is saying to you. He used his ears and he began to hear that Jesus was coming. Then he says he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He stepped out in faith by using his voice. He had his voice. He didn't have his sight, but he had his voice. You know, you and I, we have a voice. We can declare the word of God. We can speak the word of God. We can speak that which is not as though it is. God has given us a voice. God said to Jeremiah, behold, today I have put my words in your mouth. And he commanded him to speak God's word into the situations, into the nations around him, knowing that his word in Jeremiah's mouth was just as powerful in God's mouth, because it's still his word. You see, when we realize God has given us a mouth and we can begin to declare God's word, we can speak God's word, we can sing God's word, we can pray God's word, but let it come with faith. And he's declared, Jesus, Son of David, interesting title, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. He declared, Jesus, Son of David, what he was saying is, I recognize that you're someone of great importance and significance. You come through the line of David. The Messiah was to come through the line of David. He was recognizing that Jesus was not just a prophet, he was not just a man, but actually, this is the Messiah. I wonder whether in his thoughts he's realizing just how great a man this is. When you cry out, who are you crying out to? Jesus? How big is he in your sight, in your spiritual sight? How big is he in your mind? How big is he in your heart? Do you know that you can call upon his name? The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. The Bible tells that the name of Jesus, that the demons flee at his name because of who he is. Is he just a name, or is he the Messiah? Is he the risen one? Is he the coming King? Is he the all-sufficient one? Is he the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Who is Jesus to you? He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say, have grace on me, noticed. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. That's when we say, God, I know I don't deserve your healing in my life, but would you be gracious to me? Lord, I know I don't deserve your provision for my life, but would you be gracious to me and grant? I know I don't deserve salvation and to be saved and forgiveness, but Lord, it's your grace that you give to me forgiveness. You give to me your love. You give to me a church family. You give to me, Lord, everything I need in Christ Jesus to pertain to live a life of godliness. You give to me your Holy Spirit. That's because he's gracious. But to be merciful is God not giving us what we do deserve. So in other words, you and I, we deserve everything we get in life. Don't ever say, I don't deserve this. And we say that from time to time. They don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. You know, we deserve it all. We deserve hell. We deserve to be cast into that bottomless pit with the devil and his demons. That's what we deserve, because we have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. God's standards are so great. We've sinned against God. We failed him. We've fallen short. Our sins put him on the cross. He took all that for us. So anything that we don't deserve, anything. We do deserve punishment. And we think, well, I don't like to hear that, Pastor Adam. But that's the reality. So when he says, have mercy on me, he says, don't give me what I do deserve. I deserve to be blind. He recognized something about this man's position. He was seated, but his heart was in a position of humility. He was humble before God. He recognized his weakness. You know, it is the mercy of God that God relents, that God doesn't pour his wrath out upon us. It's his mercy. When Jesus died on the cross, he took a lot of our wrath. He took our wrath for sin. And the Bible talks about them coming to the mercy seat because they come to find, they're looking for forgiveness. They're looking for release. They're looking that God wouldn't pour out his wrath upon them. So they came to the mercy seat. So when this man is saying, have mercy on me, he said, listen, take note of me. Hear me, Jesus. Maybe we need to come to a place of mercy in God. Often we pray for grace, but maybe we need to come to a place of mercy. The Bible says, those who show mercy will receive mercy. Do you live a life of mercy? You know, sometimes people, they you know, you want to give them what they give you. You want to give it back to them. You want to show them what they've done. You want to show them how much they've hurt you, what they've done and how they've treated you. Maybe we need to show them a bit of mercy. In showing them mercy, God pours out his mercy upon us. As a church, let us be merciful to others around us. Let's not speak judgment and condemnation on others. This man was in a place of humility. He was a place where he was begging. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice what happens next. It says they warned him. They said, be quiet, Bartimaeus. He said there were many voices that were calling out to him, saying, Bartimaeus, just zip it. Stop calling out to Jesus. Stop calling. He's not going to answer you. There's other people talking to him. He's busy about his life. He's not got time for you, Bartimaeus. You know, maybe Bartimaeus could have been like you and me. He could have just think, well, you know, I'm upsetting people right now. I'm getting on people's nerves crying out to Jesus. Maybe I need to tone it down a bit. Maybe I need to sing a bit quieter. Maybe I need to pray a little bit less quieter. Maybe I need to stop praying altogether. My prayers aren't working anyway. He's not turned and responded to me. He never came to me. And maybe he just moved back into that position of, I'll go back to begging. I'll let him heal somebody else. And that's what some of us do, isn't it, in life. We stop. People are telling us to be quiet. I think the enemy has a field day going around whispering to people, just tell them to be quiet. They're really getting on my nerves right now. You know, when people in God begin to rise up, I tell you, you will offend people, you will upset people, and you will get on people's nerves. Your faith will get on people's nerves. You see it all the way through Scripture. That woman who began to worship Jesus at his feet, and they said, stop her doing that. You know, that she could have used that money for the poor. When the children came to Jesus, don't let them come to him. He hasn't got time for the children. There's this voice, when faith is approaching God, there's the voice of the enemy that tries to stop it. You know, as a Pentecostal people, you know, our heritage is actually, you know, we were quite loud in God. We made a noise. I wonder whether we have allowed the enemy to silence us. There are voices around us. He took no notice of those voices because his faith and he saw the opportunity was too great an opportunity to miss. You know, nobody else. I've heard these voices before and you've not done anything for me, but Jesus is the only one who can do anything for me right now. He's the only one and it's his voice I need to hear. So he says, he cried even more the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out with a loud voice. That upset maybe a few of you. Be quiet, Adam. I'll tell you, it's probably louder than that. He didn't know where he was looking. He couldn't see where Jesus was, but he had a voice to declare in faith, Jesus, Jesus. You know, there are times when in my life, when particularly when I was trained as a carpenter, you know, I'd be around, you know, I'd spend my break times with him, but lunchtime, I just couldn't cope with the filthy language and stuff going on, but I'd try and be a witness in break time. But my lunch times, I would get on my bike because I'd often cycle, and or I'd go up to these hills and there'd be nobody else around and I would just cry out to God. I mean, in my life, there was just a place, I was in a position in my life at that time where there was loneliness. I didn't know what God was doing in my life. And there's all sorts of things going on. I had to make decisions about certain things. And I felt alone, but I turned to God and I found God in a very, very great way. But there was times on those hills I just cried out to God. You know, there are times in my life I go out in the car and I just scream and I cry out, Jesus. I don't want to wake the kids you see at home. The times you go, I would encourage you, you find a place, you just let it all out before God. He's not frightened. He's not frightened. He can take everything you give. And I tell you, he can shout a lot louder than we can shout. We know he's not deaf, but I tell you, he knows that sometimes we just got to let it out. And that's a release. And he just cried out in faith, Jesus, I need your mercy. And the voices around him tried to silence him. Can I encourage us as a church, just not allow the voices of the enemy silence our faith. God doesn't answer prayer. He's not responding to us. We've been praying for too long. Let's stop. You know, I believe in this season that we're in, let's press forward for miraculous. And I love it. All right. You okay? Yes? Still awake. As he began to cry, I just love this. Jesus, you see, get this picture. He's sitting there and he's crying out and people are saying, be quiet, be quiet. And they're probably pulling on his garment that he's got on and they're pulling him, just trying to settle him down. And Jesus walking by and it says, Jesus stood still. I love this. You know, when we're praying sometimes, we think, you know, I know the times I've been praying maybe half an hour sometimes, just praying and speaking God's word, and all of a sudden, I don't know what it is, something happens, and there's just tremendous peace and calmness that just comes over me, and it's almost like Jesus is just standing still. I'm listening. I'm here. And I don't know why with us, whether it's my weakness, I don't know how to pray as I should. I'm still learning, like all of us. Sometimes we've got to get it out of us, is we've got to get it out, and we come to that place and we just realize you're there. And you realize you're not alone. You realize the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who formed you in your mother's womb, you know the one who caused the seas to part, and you know the one who caught through the stars in its place. You know the one is right there with all power and all authority. With great love and great compassion, with all knowledge and all wisdom, he's right there before you. I believe Job was at that moment in his place of difficulty. At the end, he got it all out of his system, right near the end. God says, where were you? And he's a stillness. Jesus was still. He stood still. I believe there was a calmness in the atmosphere as Jesus stopped. The people looked around and said, he's about to do something. Something's about to happen right now. I tell you, your faith reaches out. Speak it out. Listen it out. Do something. I believe God is responding. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards faith. Something is happening. And Jesus stood still, and he called him to come. Called him to come. You know, God called your name. He stood still. Somebody somewhere was praying for you in your life. You didn't know Jesus. You were far off. You're like sheep gone astray, doing your own thing. Somebody somewhere was praying for you. And you heard God call your name. And he said, come. Thank you, Jesus. That's my name. He said, Adam. Thank you, Jesus. My world changed. Your world changed when you heard your name. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't leave you in that place. But did we get up? Did he go to him? He said he got up. He had his garment. Now just picture this. I wish I had a garment on me right now. He had this garment. He said he came with this garment. He'd lived in this garment for years. He'd covered in this garment. It kept him dry in the rain. It kept him, you know, covered in those times of embarrassment, in his shame. He lived in that garment. And it said when Jesus called him to come, they came to him and they said, he's calling you. Be of good cheer, be of good courage. He's calling you, your name, it's your time, it's your season. He's calling you right now. You know, just imagine those times. What am I going to have to leave behind? He had his bowl there with his money and whatever, his bread in that bowl. And he had this garment he'd carried around all his life. When God calls us to come, often it means we've got to leave something behind. You know, when God calls us to come, when he calls you to come, what have you got to leave behind? Are you still taking your garment with you? It said he threw off his garment. He literally just threw it off. He said, I'm no longer going to be tied to this position any longer. I'm going to Jesus. And he couldn't see Jesus at this point. But yet he came. He responded to his voice. You will call and I will answer. And he responded. He threw aside his garment. Some of us, I don't want to let go of that garment. I don't want to let go of my past. I've found so much comfort in this for so many years. How will I get by without it? Faith is responding and letting go to get hold of God's hand. Are there some things in your life that you've got to still let go of? Because it will become a hindrance all your life until you let go of it. He got up. He didn't have his eyes, but he had his ears. He had his mouth and he had his legs. And he got up and he moved towards Jesus. He came to Jesus. When Jesus calls, don't remain sat in your position. Don't remain sat in your position of your condition. Some of us are sat there way too long in our condition of blindness. I believe God is saying to somebody here today, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. Somebody here, God is saying, stop sitting down and watching everybody else go by. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to lay aside your garment and come to Jesus. Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? How good is God? He doesn't give him a long lecture about how to be healed from blindness. He doesn't give him a long lecture about the Old Testament, the signs and wonders at this point of the signs of the times. He just says quite simply, okay, what do you want me to do for you? You've got my attention. What would you say to that? Jesus says to you today, okay, you're crying. I hear your cry. I hear your heart. I see your response. He could see he was blind, and yet he still said, what do you want me to do for you? Because that might not have been the issue. Or maybe Jesus just wanted him to confess for himself his need, his desperation. And I think that sometimes it is with Jesus. Okay, spit it out. Sometimes, you know, I'm talking with people, I know what the problem is, but they need to know what it is. They need to confess it. They need to speak it out. They need to acknowledge their weakness before God. And sometimes we need to just say, God, this is it. This is what I'm struggling with right now. This is my area of blindness in my life. This is my hindrance. This is my baggage. This is my hurt. This is my weakness. This is my stumbling block. This is the addiction that I've been battling with. Jesus, this is what it is, and I want you to take it away. Jesus says to you and to us, to this church, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, teacher. He recognized his authority as teacher. That I might receive my sight. That I might see again. I might see again. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I just love that. He said, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately. Immediately. God, when God works, sometimes it's just immediately. It's in an instant. It just happens. One moment he's blind, but the next moment he sees. One moment we're lost, the next moment we're found. One moment we're dead in our transgressions, the next moment we're alive. One moment we cannot see a way, the next moment we begin to see a way. One moment we're in darkness, the next moment we're in the light of his glory. Wow. One moment we're on our own, the next moment we're in the family of God. Hallelujah. And immediately, when God comes into our life, when we step into the presence and the provision of God, immediately things change. Live in the immediately of God. He received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Jesus said to him, go your way. Go your way. Okay, which way are you going to go now? You can see. You know, God does so much in our lives. He died for us on the cross. He says, go your way. Will our way be his way? Will it be our way? He chose to follow Jesus. He got from the position of seated to on the position of the highway of holiness. You know, we're on our way with Jesus. I'm on my way with you, Jesus. I now see you, Jesus. I see your glory. I see your wonder. I see your majesty. I see who you really are. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. He got on that road and he began to follow Jesus. When God says, get out of your seat, he says, get out of your seat, go your way. And he leaves you with a decision. Will you go your way to follow Jesus, or will you go your way to follow your own way? As I believe there are many people, they've made a decision. God's done something in their life. And I've seen people who have been healed and restored by God. And then I see them a week later back in that condition as they just continue back in their old way of living. Jesus calls us to follow him. But he leaves us that decision. Will you follow him today? I want a worship team, would you? Would you come forward? Why don't we just bow our heads for a moment and just begin to just come into a moment of prayer. One of the meetings this week, I was just there listening to the word, and then I just felt the Holy Spirit just stop me in a moment. And he just said, Adam, put no confidence in your flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh. But put your confidence in me and my word. I find that a difficult thing to do. And this man, when he threw aside his garment, he was saying, I'm putting no confidence in myself. I'm putting no confidence in the people around me. I put no confidence in my own livelihood, but I put my confidence in what Jesus can do and in who Jesus is. We don't seek necessarily the miracle, we seek the miracle worker. We seek God, the God of miracles. And this morning, maybe you need a miracle in your life. Or maybe you know somebody who needs a miracle in their life. And I just wanted to take this time as we worship God, as we seek him. And I want us to be persistent over this next month. And maybe you want to invite people and say, hey, look, they're praying for people who are sick. They're praying for people who need provision. They're praying for people. We're believing for signs and wonders. And we're believing for miracles that God will show his glory. And in everything that God does and everything he does, we're going to give him the glory. We will give him the glory. But I feel we need to do something. So as we worship, as we sing, if you want a miracle, you need God to do something in your life. Maybe you don't know Jesus. You need salvation to happen in your life. You just need to meet him. As we worship, I want to invite you just to come and say, let's just pray with me. Pray with me. I want you to respond. And over the next few weeks, we're going to do this. But don't leave it for the next week. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. And I just want to open up an opportunity. I cannot do anything, but Jesus does and can. So let's stand together, shall we?